You're listening to Red Nation Online.
This is the Gaffer and Hooligan Podcast. Discussions, debates, and opinions on Major League Soccer and the CONCACAF region from a Canadian perspective. Hosted by Kamal Hilton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gaffer and Hooligan, available on Red Nation Online, War Room Sports Podcast Network, and FatsRadio.com. I'm your host, Kamal Hilton, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron Nielsen. How's it going, Aaron?
Good, Kamal.
We've had some big news come across the news wire these past couple of days.
Yeah. It is transfer deadline day.
Yeah, for sure. That has everybody going nuts. But our regular topic of conversation that you're going to hear in both our regular MLS CONCACAF podcast and the European podcast is what we're going to call prospect special. So we're talking all the young guys and where we see them fitting and all that kind of stuff. But with the Ryan Nelson firing with Toronto FC and that whole mess, I think we should put together a bonus pod for you guys, giving our take on things, because everybody's take, Twitter's going nuts, Facebook's going nuts.
Well, also Jermaine Defoe possibly being transferred out on deadline day.
So yeah, that's
probably after or before this pod came out. So
yeah, so by the time this pod comes out, all that stuff is probably still going to be hot topics.
Still be a story, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So it's good for us to give our take. I'm going to start off and say, I told you so. I told you so.
Where's your picture with the shirt?
It's out there floating on the internet somewhere.
I think Kristen should have to wear an Arsenal shirt just to.
She actually brought that up, but I said, you know what? I'm so happy I'm doing cartwheels right now that I'm not even going to make you put on an Arsenal shirt. I'm happy it's done. If you guys don't know what I'm referring to, I made a bet with Kristen Knowles of the Vocal Minority podcast on if Nelson's going to get fired this season. You guys know I never liked him when he came here. She loves him. She'll say she doesn't, but she does. And she thought that he was going to last the whole season. Now, what I'm upset about mostly is the fact they didn't do it last game when I thought they were going to do it. Instead, they wait a week later. I don't know. But in general, my thought on this is, again, he couldn't coach, so they needed to get rid of him. Things were getting stagnant, I think, and stale, and they needed to change. And I think it's actually a good thing they got rid of him and basically the entire coaching staff outside of Jason Bent, who's still there, and they're going to find some kind of role for him. But what's your thoughts on this whole thing?
My opinion is, I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he was fired basically because Toronto isn't reaching the expectations they should be. And I think in podcasts we've talked about before, and certainly articles I wrote on RNO, I sort of explained this, that because of the moves Toronto made in the offseason, their expectations were much higher this season. Generally, as a coach, personally, I thought he coached. I wrote an article recently, I think it's up on RNO right now. Within the article, I wrote that to me he coached a bit scared. He was very, for his 4-4-2, no matter what. In the most recent game, which you were actually at the game, reporting at the game, Toronto lost 3-0 to New England, didn't play good throughout the whole game, but we're down early. And and that's where, again, I don't necessarily think a coach, I think, Moneyball theory, I think the coach is much more hype than necessarily reality, but the coach does make the decisions of how to impact the game and how to set your lineup prior to the game. And in a number of occasions, not only this season, but especially last season, I thought he could have been more, I had issues with his choices. I thought he could have been at least more adventurous and at least try more ideas.
Oddly enough, yeah, you say I was at the New England game, and watching it, oddly enough, I actually don't blame him for that performance. I think that one's squarely on the players. Other performances in previous games, I think the blame is squarely on him due to things you were mentioning. Mm-hmm. You know, things were getting stale and he wouldn't change it. And, like, tactics, you know, he would stick to his 4-4-2, which would make no sense in a game on the road when you're down and you need a point out of the game in a playoff race. Yeah. This team is supposed to be a playoff team and a
first place team.
Yeah, Eastern Conference Championship type of team. And you would think your coach would say, okay, we need these points. Let's go get them. Let's go make the changes necessary.
Yeah, and in reference, and again, I said this in the article, if any team in any sport was expected to be successful in that league and were basically 575% into the league, I think they'd be fired, right? If we were talking earlier, if the Cleveland Cavaliers, now that they signed LeBron James and Love, were a 500 team mostly through the NBA season, guaranteed the coach would be the first on the line. And I think it's interesting how you said that the players didn't play for him on Saturday. And, you know, I think that's reflective, right? You know, I think that that's, you know, arguably you want to be more proactive than that, and you want to fire him before the season or fire him when you're worried or nervous. But, you know, once the players give up, it's over, right? And that's the thing. I thought they, you know, if they stayed the path, I think they would have been methodical throughout the rest of the season. I think they would still have made the playoff. I think right now, odds-wise, there's 70% chance of still making the playoff. But as we've seen with Montreal last year, as we saw with Vancouver a couple years ago, you know, it's one and done, right? And so I don't see them being champion material right now. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. We did our mid-season preview. And I had Toronto as a strong favorite in the East at the beginning of the year. And I completely got rid of that prediction quickly. And, you know, I think we could talk about Vanny, you know. Do you have any opinions on that? You're going to get another shirt contest?
No. I'm not doing any more shirt contests for now. But my opinion on him is I look at him as a placeholder. Yeah. Apparently, he's signed as the full-time coach,
okay,
which I wouldn't have done. I would have placed the interim tag on him.
Yeah.
I would have let him show me what you can do. While he's doing that, if I'm Bezbachenko and Lewicki or whoever, I scour the globe and look for whatever we're trying to turn this thing into, the coach that can help us do that best.
Sure.
If you have to, honestly, I would cut a whole bunch of players, take the money that you're paying them, and go pay a coach that can do the job you want him to do and kind of have him. Well, it would maybe makes no sense because then it would make Bezbachenko a little bit useless, because I was going to say take him and make him have a lot more of the power in terms of structuring how he wants to do things.
Sure.
But in general, in terms of Vanny, I don't know how he plays, so I don't know his type of style and his ideal.
Yeah, I know that he has some academy history or football development history. He ran an academy which was connected to Real Salt Lake. And, you know, I think one of the reasons he was named is he was working as the assistant GM to Bezbachenko earlier on this year. So he's a guy in-house. You know, I look at it, Kristen would know as well, but I would look at it as similar to a Tim Sherwood situation, right, where they'll play it out. I guarantee if they lose the next three or four games and are in playoff danger, he'd probably be out quicker than this. But I think they're going to see what happens, and if they're disappointed by the end of the season, I don't think he'll be back next year. So even though it might not be intern, it probably is. You know, he's probably creating his resume, or it's you know, he's proving if he can do the job.
But I noticed with Toronto FC, this whole thing has been a domino effect. You had the Lewicki news about how he's going to leave MLSE. Now you have Ryan Nelson. He's fired.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're hearing Jermaine Defoe, because it's transfer deadline day.
Yeah.
Apparently he wants to leave, or the club is shopping him, or whatever kind of spin people are putting on it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they're connected. I don't think they're a domino effect. I think that, you know, if Lewicki leaves Toronto and he wants his name to be held in good light, the success of Toronto FC has a strong base on that. So I think he might have been more reactionary with the Nelson firing than he would be if he was here long term, because he'd probably say next season would be the season that we go for the championship, and this season was the year that we are, you know, just seeing where we're at. So I think that deals with the firing. You know, the Defoe thing is interesting. You know, it's exciting for me as a soccer fan in general, right? Because we always talk about the MLS being part of real football and doing real football things. And the argument is, you know, again, these are paper talks. So you have to believe the rumors and stuff. But Toronto paid $6-7 million for Defoe, and now they want him for $11 million, right? So to me, you know, I tweeted this on my Twitter account. Like I jokingly said, it's bloody good business. So, you know, so yeah, I do think, you know, it's a business deal. Like it's interesting with us because on Twitter, after Bradley Wright Phillips scored a couple of goals against Montreal, we talked, or I basically said that the MLS should be actively trying to sell him back to England.
Yeah, I said that too.
Highest value. Okay, yeah.
I said that too.
So arguably, you know, the Defoe is going to get you more money. You know, the question becomes is, you know, I know, you know, it's funny because our first ever Gaffer Hooligan podcast, I think one of the first topics was, is MLS a feeder league? So, you know, I'm fine with it. You know, it's, to me, it's football business, and I love football business. So, you know, if you can get good money for a guy, you get good money for a guy. I believe in that.
Apparently, he's rumored to with a loan deal to Arsenal, last I checked.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not really sure how I feel about that. But
okay. I heard $11 million to QPR. But.
Yeah, if that's the deal and that gets finalized, I'm good with that from a Toronto FC perspective. And then what I really want to happen, and I said this on Twitter, if Greg Vanney wants to get in my good books right away, mm-hmm. you start Dwayne De Rosario and you start Bright DK, mm-hmm. especially if Defoe leaves.
Yeah.
Those are two guys I start right away.
Yeah. Now the other thing to, you know, part of the reason of leaving is Defoe's choice as well. And arguably, looking how he plays, he might not be completely happy about his situation in Toronto. He certainly, you know, I don't know if he's happy with his teammates. So, and maybe, you know, because, you know, I don't know the story, but, you know, Nelson played in Tottenham for a little bit, so maybe he does have a strong relationship with Defoe. I'm not sure about the history of that. So, Defoe is what Defoe is, right? You know, you certainly are a better club when he's playing, but arguably, if you can take the $11 million or you can do other team development, you can be a better club. So, to me, it's not, you know, end of the world if he leaves.
And then in general, in terms of Tim Bezpachenko's moves or the ones that have been tagged as his moves, mm-hmm. as opposed to Nelson's moves or whatever, I've liked them. I mean, he did the Dominic Oduro thing.
Yeah.
He brought in Jackson. So it's like little moves like that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more critical. as I almost went through everything, I guess. You know, I think it'll be interesting what happens this offseason, right? Because the unfortunate thing for Toronto FC is they brought these players. One of these reasons why these players were available is their contract was going higher. And so what they count against the cap is worse than what they did when they were previously with their other teams. And so I rather see more of long-term development opposed to, you know, bringing in names and hopefully they can gel together and succeed. You know, but yeah, we'll see.
So that's our little take on this whole situation, but let us know your thoughts. You can tweet us directly at Kamal Hilton and at ENB Sports. Leave a comment underneath this post on the RNO site. Hop onto the Gaffer and Hooligan Facebook page and find this podcast on the War Room Sports Podcast Network and FatsRadio.com. But until next time, guys, cheers.
Cheers.